Milo's Pro Rewards members. Go big during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Buy more and save more with up to 20% off job site essentials like primed finger joint boards when you spend $3,000 or more. Plus, get up to 25% off PVC DWV pipes when you spend $250 or more. Shop Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 123. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
And we are live for week three. What's going on?
Pun intended.
Right. What's going on, Mr. Gracie?
Howdy.
Howdy, howdy.
I'm still in dad mode, so I got to rest this week, and then I'm off for a week.
There we go. We still don't know what the difference is going to be between dad mode and undad mode, but we will find out.
I don't know.
So yesterday, your album 5V turned 20?
Did it? I didn't know.
I guess it came out in 2001. We're in 2023. So what's that, 22 years?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, it came out like a week or two after 9/11. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw somebody had posted, it was the birthday of V yesterday. So I was going through checking it out. And kind of, you guys didn't write it for, 9/11, but Overcome was on that album. And really, I don't know if you guys did it or if somebody else went through and did it, but they had like pictures of 9/11 going on and then just Overcome playing and just kind of all these crazy pictures of 9/11 and us cleaning up and everything.
We did not do that. That was like a spontaneous thing and it was pretty wild. It got played on VH1 and a lot during that whole time.
All over. I mean,
it was wild.
And everybody who heard it was like, wow, they wrote this song for it because it fit perfectly with what was going on. We were all overcome with feelings, emotions, all that stuff.
That was all. I mean, obviously, Ed wrote that whole thing and he put that together. And then we had a full band version that we did that we recorded, but we didn't put on the record that way. But yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Beautiful.
Yeah, I remember. Because you guys didn't do that many concerts in 1998. I happened to go to one at Stone Pony, which was dope. And you did a full band version of Overcome, and it was like acoustic guitar and all that stuff. You still got the same sentiment and stuff, but that piano just added like another layer of emotion to it, which was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. That's funny. We went on and did some touring right after that happened. We went to Canada. I remember flying to Canada. And there was nobody on the planes. It was freaking wild.
Right.
No one in the airports. And we went up and did, I think, some promotional stuff, maybe a show or two in Canada. And that was wild. Just travel around that time.
What's your favorite country to perform in besides the United States?
Probably Australia.
Yeah, you
and
guys are
Netherlands. There. Yeah, Australia and Netherlands. I mean, they love us.
Netherlands, that's Amsterdam.
Amsterdam is the capital city, yes.
Netherlands. I've never been, but how cool is and don't mind me if I sound congested. I'm a little sick today.
That's all right. My son's home sick downstairs.
The giant boy.
He's taller than me now, but yeah, he's downstairs sick. Amsterdam is a freaking cool city. We've been there so many freaking times, it's like lost its kind of sheen for me. So I'm like, okay, Amsterdam. But it's a great place. I mean, if you have the chance to visit, obviously go. I don't smoke weed, but like the cannabis cafes and stuff are great. And like, if you want to do this, you can walk around the red light district. That's pretty wild. But the whole city's just
true that interesting. That they're just hookers like in a window and you walk by and you could kind of be like, oh, I like that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's on display. And it's literally have red lights around the windows in this red light district. There's a few of those in Europe. So, but Amsterdam is pretty big and it's interesting to see. Yeah. They're just standing there and you can walk in if you want and have your way.
I mean, as it should be. I mean, if people are willing to sell their bodies and people are willing to pay for it, I don't see what the issue is. As long
Oh yeah, I have no problem with it. No problem. You know? I was every time I was there, well, I was married, so I haven't been back since I've not been married.
Oh, well, then you got to get your ass back there. Santa party. Or are drugs legal there, or is just marijuana legal there? Like I've seen.
Well, marijuana is not even legal there. It's tolerated. Everything is basically tolerated there.
Oh.
And that could have changed, but I know for the longest time we were going that was always kind of the rule. Just tolerated. Oh, it was not legal. And but yeah, I mean, you walk around, you walk down the streets and you have people running up to you going, Charlie. And you're like, that's cocaine.
I thought so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw, I don't know if it was real or not, but somebody, I guess, went to Amsterdam and brought back a menu from one of those cafe places, and it had heroin on there, cocaine, mushrooms. Mm. And I didn't know if that was real or if that was like, are all the drugs tolerated like pot over there?
I think so. Most of them, but I don't know. I've never seen the menu with that stuff on it, but it could exist.
Wow. That's kind of out there and progressive.
We're going to have to get some Dutchie fans to call in and talk about that.
Yeah.
Give us the real deal.
That's a good idea. For all you Amsterdam fans out there, let us know, man. Is it legal? Is it just okay? Is it bullshit what I saw? Let me know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, now I'm like 3 episodes into that Painkiller docuseries. I guess that's what you call it. Jesus, man. I cannot believe that this shit went down the way it didn't, and they almost got away with it. But I'm hearing that before this Painkiller came out, that the Sackler family basically said they're going to pay $6 billion, and then they cannot be come after for civil or criminal charges after that $6 billion is paid. But right. Supposedly, after they put out Painkiller, whoever saw it and put the kibosh on that, and that's no longer the case. And I guess they're coming after more money or maybe criminal charges. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think Peter Berg was talking about it on Joe Rogan's. He said that a judge, I don't know if the judge in the exact case, they put a stop to the settlement and said, no, hold on a minute. We got to look into this further and see if there's more damages and, you know, possible criminal charges.
That would be the way to make sure shit like this doesn't happen again. I mean, then these
you
people.
You hope so. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if they're facing criminal charges, you would then think they would think at least twice about doing something similar or, you know, possibly even worse.
Oh, yeah. Because right now, all the large pharmaceutical companies, they bake in lawsuits into their profits. They know they're going to get sued when a drug kills somebody or maims somebody. And so they it's like baked, it's literally baked into their profits. They go, okay, we're probably going to get sued on this. So here we go. It doesn't matter how many people we kill. We'll just pay a fine and go about our business.
Yeah. As long as we make more than we have to pay out.
Right. If there's a precedent set where criminal charges can be filed, that would be good news for all of us.
Absolutely. Are the Sacklers still like coming up with shit? Like I would think like after something like this, they would like settle like into the sunset and not be heard of again. Like are they still brazen enough to be making new medicine and to fucking, try and come out with some more shit?
I'm not sure what they're doing. I have no idea. I think OxyContin was kind of their only thing. So I'm not sure. They're probably coming up with something.
Before that, they had the MS cotton, and this was just a rebranding of it.
Right. And the cotton was the coating that was on the tablets, apparently. That's what Peter Berg said, and I think they mentioned that in the docuseries somewhere.
Which, that coating is funny. So, watching it, so I guess the dosage was every 8 hours they would prescribe it, and of course, the coating was wearing off before the 8 hours, and they would have to take more in between. And if they were showing signs of addiction, it was just pseudo addiction. And all you have to do is, amp up the dosage and go from 40 milligrams to 80 milligrams every 8 hours.
Right.
But that coding is funny. I mean, I know tons of people who, I guess they fixed it somewhere along the line, but they would just suck off the coating, you crush it up, and then you do what you got to do. And you basically, instead of time-released heroin, you got instant heroin.
Well, it's the coating, and then your body just gets used to, you know, the dose you're taking, and then you got to take more to get that same feeling or close to the same feeling.
Well, yeah, isn't it crazy? So there's something called, I guess, opioid receptors that your body has. And then, like you said, you build tolerance and then you need more and more. But there's a way to shut them off or something, like with Suboxone or something, where you take that like right as you're starting to go into withdrawal. And I guess it blocks those receptors so you don't feel it, which is kind of weird to me that. You know, the I guess the physical addiction part of it is that simple, to where you just block those receptors from and you're no longer, you know, in withdrawal. I'm is what I'm gathering from hearing about that.
Yeah, stuff. I think you're right about that. It's, I think it's like Suboxone or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, it does something to stop withdrawal, I think, but I don't know. And then once you're off of it, then it puts you on methadone, which is an artificial.
Even more addicting. And I heard it's more addicting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because like the shelf life on it, the half life on it is longer. So in other words, for something to go into your system and out, let's just say heroin needs 24 hours for it. That is like 72 hours from after you take it. So it prolongs how long it stays in your system and then how long it takes to leave your system. And supposedly the addiction to methadone is a much harder addiction to kick than heroin.
And lovely.
It is crazy.
This is insane. So like,
and I don't get people who go from doing heroin to methadone, because that shit still fucks you up. Supposedly the Suboxone doesn't, and it makes it to where you can't do opiates. So in other words, if you're on the Suboxone and then you go to take the opiates, since it blocks those receptors, you don't feel the high.
Mm. Wow.
And then since you don't feel the high, people are doing more and more to finally feel the high. And once they took enough to feel it, they're OD'd because they took so much.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, normally you would just say, you know, don't do drugs, kids. But that's what's so insidious about OxyContin is that doctors are prescribing it. Like, oh, yeah, you got to take this. Oh, all here's right. A higher dose. Take this. Take more. Take more. It's like,
and with
so
no
crazy.
Game plan to get anybody off, like they, you know, so in other words, once we figured out how bad it was and they were starting to slow the prescriptions down, they weren't really worried about the people that they've already caused these addictions to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, you know, they were calling them abusers and like basically blaming them.
Right. It's
the Sacklers, that is the Purdue, yeah. The company was like,
they're
wow.
Drug addicts already. That had nothing to do with our drugs. It's, they were already drug addicts.
It's just nuts.
It's absolutely nuts. The fact that we're in this lovely, you know, the best country in the world and shit like that can happen is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, hopefully they got our back so it doesn't happen again. But I mean,
well, the FDA is a flawed institution. I mean, they tell you basically how they got the drug to be, you know, okay by the FDA, it's accepted by the FDA, it's believed not to cause addiction,
right? Yeah.
And this one guy they put in a hotel room for 2 days, all of a sudden comes out and it's just one guy, it's not a committee, it's one guy who had to approve this, and they just badgered him and then put him in a hotel room. No one knows what happens in the hotel room,
right?
And he comes out with that language, and then it's all of a sudden approved by the FDA, and it's like, oh, okay, that's how this works.
Well,
FDA process is generally pretty fucked too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fact that that slipped through, but also the fact that, hold on, I'm getting a call. If you're listening out there, call me back in about 10 minutes.
Well, the FDA allows like 15,000 additives into our food that they don't have, that's not listed, they don't have to be listed. They allow red dye number 40, like, which is horrible for you and for your kids, and all these food dyes that are just disgusting and banned in every other country.
Right.
Just, oh, yeah, no problem. High fructose corn syrup. Let's not get started on that.
Heinz ketchup in the United States versus Heinz ketchup in Europe is completely different as far as preservatives go.
All that stuff. And real sugar over there. Yeah.
Right. Why are they ahead of that curve, you know, and more into, you know, what's going into their citizens' food than we are? I mean, we're.
Good question.
It's absolutely crazy.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think the food industry is in bed with the pharmaceutical industry. It's like the food makes you sick and here's the drug to make you feel better, but it doesn't cure you because the food is making you sick. And like this big cycle of bullshit. Well,
the fact that, you know, the food groups or whatever, the pyramid and stuff, that they got like sugar to be on there as a necessary part of what we should take is crazy. Oh my God.
Yeah, no? They released some food. Yeah, I guess recently the government released some food pyramid or something, and it was like breakfast sugary breakfast cereals are better for you than beef.
Yeah, or eggs.
It's like, what?
Yeah,
what the fuck are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense. Remember when I used to eat. Oh, I still do, but basically try to eat organic as much as possible, and I was doing it before it was cool. Whatever, not to say I was cool or whatever, but just I was, because I knew what was in. Cool. We read this book. My ex and I read this book when we were together, and it's, you know, talked about all the food additives and the FDA process, and we were like, fuck that, we're gonna eat organic. And then people were like, why do you eat organic? That's weird. And we're like, weird. Like, okay, well, here's a piece of fruit,
right?
That's grown in an orchard, and there's no chemicals on it. Let's spray some Windex on it.
Right.
That's what you're eating. If actually just worse the herbicides and the insecticides that they put on the shit is even worse than Windex. But like, or you'll just eat the fruit without anything on it. That's organic. So that's weird.
It's another.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, another one of your crazy conspiracies that you came out with.
I know. I'm weird. I'm crazy.
I was looking into organic and kind of, you know, what you should eat organic, not what you shouldn't, but kind of what maybe doesn't need to be organic. And they were like, anything that has a skin on it, you could pretty much get away with going non-organic. So
especially fruits. Yeah. Any fruits that have like a banana, it's better to be organic. It doesn't have to be.
Right.
Or like an apple that you're going to peel.
Right.
Or anything you can take the skin off of to eat. Yes. But like blueberries, strawberries, stuff like that, definitely go organic because you're eating all kinds of shite.
They're like sponges, basically, and they're outer. There's nothing on the outside protecting the inside. So, yeah, perfectly what you said, like blueberries, strawberries, all that shit, you best get organic because it sucks up anything that they're spraying along the way.
Excuse me.
Do you have you ever farmed before in your life? You ever been on a farm and
messed been up? On a farm? I have not farmed. When I was growing up, my dad would do a garden in my grandma's backyard, which was like two doors up. So,
oh, nice.
We would do like carrots and radishes and like bell peppers, you know, green onions. What's that?
You ever milk a cow?
No, never milked a cow.
Wow. So I'm trying, because I've done it a couple times in my life, and I'm trying to think where and why I was privy to it. I guess I went to a farm as a kid or something a couple times and got to milk cows.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was definitely a strange thing. I almost learned how to jerk two dudes off at once.
a family friend had a farm, but I don't remember them having cows. And I don't know. We would go down there all the time, but I never had the occasion to.
Yeah, it was definitely cool.
Milk a cow.
Yeah, felt like you were hurting it, but nah, they don't mind at all. And
my friend Noreen, who's a big live fan, she just wrote, she must be listening. She said, I've milked a cow.
So, I wish you could
plug
in on this. She could tell us about how that milking of a cow went. But have you ever had milk straight from a cow without being pasteurized? Like the warm milk?
Yes. Yeah? Warm milk. Yeah.
Is it good? Is it weird?
It's a little more creamy than pasteurized milk.
Yeah. And at Louis Pasteur, or whatever the heck his name was, that came
Louis Pasteur, yes.
Yeah. doesn't that take away a lot of the nutrients and stuff in milk? Like, what is the of the pasteurizing? Is there some shit in there that
bacteria?
Ah,
yeah.
So I guess
it kills all bacteria in the milk, and
even the good bacteria. I'm guessing then.
Good bacteria. Mm-hmm.
Aye. How the hell did he learn, you know, to pasteurize? Like, what made him decide to do that? You know, like,
it's a good question. I forget his process and what happened with that, but not sure.
I wonder,
Jamie, look it up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so speaking of, our producer again. So he's a paralegal, and he, I guess, tried to dump his caseloads off to somebody, and he couldn't. They called him at 7 a.m. and said,
"Hang on."
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
You got me?
Okay. Yeah, I hit my my adapter and it cut off in the back. So yeah, talking about what's his name again?
Yeah, Bobby Yankee. Yeah. So I guess at 7 a.m. somebody called him up and couldn't cover for him. So I was like, dude, okay, I know we're not paying you, but still, I need you to be consistently here. So I was like, one more week, have everything cleared out and ready to go for next Tuesday. And if not, we're moving on.
I'm going to start making a list for him. You got to look up pasteurization, Louis Pasteur.
Everything that we've said that has come true.
But like raw milk and raw cheese, I guess they're basically, I don't know if they're illegal in the United States, but you can get them in like farmers markets and stuff, but they're hard to find.
Yeah, I think it would be illegal.
Yeah, and pregnant, like they suggest pregnant women don't eat, you know, raw cheese and raw milk and certain foods.
Which
but they'll tell you to get a flu shot and get all your shots with your baby in your stomach. And when the baby comes out, they'll shoot the baby up with all kinds of shit.
Dude, my nephew is 6 months old. They're recommending the flu shot for him at 6 months. I'm like, that seems weird.
I hope they are saying no, because that's fucking stupid.
Oh, my sister did, for sure. Good. This is a doctor's recommendation.
Like, oh, yeah. Well, of course. It's pharmaceutical going, hey, flu shots.
Right.
Got my yearly message from CVS. Flu shots available. I'm like,
fuck off.
Never.
I got one flu shot in my life. Don't know why I got it. Just went to get it 1 year, and I was like, to be honest, I kind of felt a little shitty right afterwards, like the following day or so. I didn't get the flu, but I've gotten the flu like once in my life. So I was like, what am I fucking going to get that for? It wasn't even that bad, the flu. I mean, it's a bad cold.
Generally, I mean, yeah, it does kill some people, but usually older people.
Right, or and, overweight people, or people who have issues to begin with.
Yeah,
I don't know if the flu's taking out like a fucking 30-year-old in good shape type. You know, I don't think that's happening. If so,
generally not. I mean, I guess it happens rarely, but generally not. No.
Right.
Yeah.
You know anybody personally who's been affected by the vaccine or the boosters or anything like that?
Anybody personally? I'm trying to think. No, not off the top of my head, no.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I know people who have had, you know, like minor issues or and stuff like that, but nothing that's like, you know, the stroke or the, you know, whatever the hell that
is. Myocarditis. Yeah, yeah. Actually, I was talking to, you know, someone that follows me on Instagram, a woman that regrets getting it because she now has tachycardia, which I guess is a side effect. I guess I don't know what tachycardia is, but I guess it's, you know, some kind of deal with the rhythm of your heart.
Oh,
look it up.
Yeah. Jamie. But yeah, I mean, anything that could cause your heart to go out of rhythm can't be.
No, we don't like that.
No. Do you use an Apple Watch?
No.
Oh, they
tachycardia can be caused by a regular heart rhythm. No.
By a regular?
Yeah, it's caused by a regular heart rhythm, I guess. Treatable condition which causes rapid heartbeat.
Okay. So it doesn't throw it out of rhythm.
But she didn't have it before she got the shot. Now she gets it. She had it right after she got the shot. then it's kind of going away. But like you said, once in a while, she'll get it again. Okay.
You were on his show twice, so I'm guessing you're a sort of fan, a Howard Stern fan?
Yes. I was more of a big Howard Stern fan until, you know, COVID really happened. And actually when Trump got elected, but...
Yes. Who the hell
he
knew?
Says he's Republican, but he's really anti-Trump, which is fine. You can be anti-Trump. That's fine.
Right.
But like the whole COVID thing is just wild to me. He's the one. He was one of the guys going... But, you know, basically, fuck your freedom. Go get the vaccine. Yes. He's still scared to death of getting COVID. I'm like, he's like, yeah, the last time I listened, probably a couple of weeks ago, he's like, yeah, Beth and I are just now starting to go out again. I'm like,
yep.
But we're scared we're going to get COVID. It's like, dude, get COVID. You'll be fine.
You're
going to be okay.
Or he'll be the ones where he does get it and it's all fucked. But
yeah.
He's so warped. Like, he used to be against the establishment, blah, 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 blah. And now he just falls in line and talks like, you know, a woke person,
mm-hmm.
which is not cool.
It drives me crazy. But so when I listen, I'll listen to the funny bits. And then when he starts talking about that, I'm just like, turn it off.
I can't
turn it off. Her. And now he's, I mean, so the latest, you know, this Lauren Boebert from Colorado, she gets busted watching Beetlejuice groping this guy she's with. You ever heard about this?
No,
the latest thing that the MSN are attacking. She's a Republican from Colorado.
Okay.
And she was seeing this play of Beetlejuice, a musical about Beetlejuice and the movie. And she got caught on CCTV, like groping this dude she was with. She's on a date. And apparently, like, she was vaping in the theater. And like, so it's hilarious, but she's getting the beat out of her by MSN, of course, because you know, anytime you can go attack a conservative
for
the
right.
mainstream media, they'll do this, they'll overdo it. But and I don't necessarily agree with her actions, but like, come on, it's like everyone chill out. But Howard Stern has come out and like gone off on her. And it's like, dude, your whole fucking vibe for most of your career was smut,
right.
And now you're like Mr. fucking morals now and like going off on this woman for having a good time with her date. Like,
right,
give me a break, dude. Give me a break. Like, stop.
So what, she's getting cozy with her significant other there and vaping? Like, these are not like murder and fucking shit like that.
Yeah. And it's just everything is just over the top these days. It's crazy.
And he's the one who came up with blank a doodle do. Oh,
yeah.
Cock a doodle do. Just so we could say
right.
Cock on the radio.
I mean, it's Cocktober, for God's sakes.
Right. He's got Cocktober.
I mean, the show's hilarious. I love all those shit, all those things. It's like, you're not the moral authority of the country to be judging this woman. Take it easy, dude. Like, give me a break.
And now
the Senate's just passed this new rule for no dress code to let Fetterman wear his fucking hoodies and his gym shorts.
Oh, wait, I didn't hear this. What is this?
Oh, this just happened too. Yeah. Schumer came out and said there's no longer a dress code in the United States Senate.
I honestly didn't know there was one, but okay. Well,
there was one. You have to wear a suit to be in the Senate floor, which you should.
Absolutely. So
but
now
no.
You're on the Senate floor in basketball shorts and a tee?
Oh, this, yeah.
Oh, my.
Fucking God. Fetterman's hoodie. Yeah, sure.
Wow.
So why are we lowering the bar for this one dumbass?
Oh, right. Well, that's the whole thing with the trans thing. Like, we're changing, like, why are we making it to where, you know, biological males can go into the bathroom of a biological female because they feel like a female? You're making the biological females uncomfortable to go to the bathroom because right. You're a dude. You have a dick. Go into that bathroom.
Right. Huh? And it just sets it up for people to take advantage of it.
Yes.
In the most insidious way.
Right.
You know. I just saw a guy on Instagram. He's saying, if you own a business, if you're a male who owns a business, identify as a female and see, and then you let the state and the federal government tell you that you can't do that. Because there's like women-owned small businesses get like special, like if you have government contracts, like U.S.
Right.
government contracts, like you get special, basically you get picked for contracts over male owned right. businesses, etc. So this guy's like, if you are a male owned business and you are like getting contracts from the government, identify as a woman.
Yep.
And then let the state or the federal government tell you you're not.
Wow. Like,
that's fucking brilliant.
That is.
Like, take advantage of their bullshit. Like, you can identify as anything now.
Yeah.
And women in small owned businesses, you know, I guess the government can't define what a woman is now, but then, you know, whatever. That's a whole other story.
Insane.
So identify as a woman. Get special privileges, you know, well, for that.
Yeah. I mean, a Pennsylvania high school yesterday or the day before staged a walkout because they were making it so biological males can go into a female's bathroom if they were transgender or identified as the sex that they weren't born. And the females were uncomfortable to go to the bathroom. So the entire school staged a walkout, which I thought was fucking great. And yes, we actually have kids, high school kids, that are fucking smarter than the adults watching them.
Well, I think this younger generation is starting to see, you know, the craziness of this and where they're starting to realize and live where it can go. Like, it's just, you know, if you're trans, be trans, that's fine. But like, don't, you can't just make everyone else uncomfortable because you feel a certain way. It's not how society works.
Right.
Okay. I mean, like when Leah Thomas, the trans swimmer, identified as a woman and then started, you know, killing all the other women swimmers.
Right.
When she first appeared in the locker room, and what's the swimmer's name that swam against her? She's come out and talked about everything.
Riley
something. She was like the main competition for, and actually came in second to Leah Thomas in a couple of competitions or whatever. But like the first time that she appeared in the dressing room, everyone's like, what is this? Or he, right. whatever.
Right.
And the faculty and administration basically told them, it doesn't matter if you're uncomfortable. You have to accept her. It's like,
right.
What? So, I mean, what are you talking about?
Right.
She should either get her own dressing room or whatever.
Right.
If everyone else is uncomfortable with it, why does she get special privileges?
Right. Why does the one get a special privilege over the mass? It makes no sense. It's the upside down world.
You don't do it. Yeah, exactly. Clown world, upside down, whatever you want to say.
Lynn or Leah?
Leah.
Leah. Okay, so Leah was born a male, still has a dick and balls, and is going into the woman's locker room and making them feel uncomfortable. And she still dates women. So, like, how fucked up is that? She still has the male parts and dates females and is allowed to be in a woman's locker room naked with biologically born females who are fucking scared and feel intimidated and have complained to the school, and the school's done nothing about it. Like, that right. is fucked the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah. She's attracted to females and now is in a locker room with
right
a penis and balls going, hey, look.
I could say I fucking
feel
a woman and go do that. Like, I used to.
That's the point. You can. I mean, you right. can. You literally can. Yeah. Now you have prisoners saying that they're women and getting out of men's prisons and going into women's prisons and raping women.
Crazy. Crazy.
And anybody can do it. You just have to identify. It's like, what the fuck? Right. What is going on?
You have
like, how does this happen? And why is it allowed to happen?
Well, the short answer is all our fucking woke professors at our woke universities are, you know, putting these ideals in to these young adults. And, you know, it trickles down and we're seeing that now. But hopefully we're waking up a little bit to fucking course correct because it's getting nutty.
Oh, yeah. And they have students identifying as cats.
Right.
I say what?
People putting litter boxes in the bathroom.
I mean, you got to blame the parents too. Like, what are you doing?
Well, for sure. Like,
how are you letting this happen to your child and being cool with it? Like, you're a cat now? Oh, okay.
Why are 7 and 8 year olds worrying about gender and sexual things? Like, that shouldn't even be a thought in your brain at that point. And if it is
being pushed on them,
slow down. Exactly. Exactly. That. And that's not fair. You're making kids grow up and think about things that they should not have to. They should be contemplating whether or not Santa's real, you know.
So John Kennedy, the senator, or is he a congressman from Louisiana, he just read a book. This is the thing that trips me out. Like, all these, you know, a lot of liberals are like going off of conservatives because they're banning books. It's like, no, they're banning books that are sexually explicit to in children's libraries and schools.
Right, right.
That's where we are. Like, that's wrong for conservatives not wanting their children to be exposed to sexually graphic and basic porn. Right. In their school, in the school library, and a book that can check out of the library explains anal sex between two boys. It's right. If you want to do that as an adult and be an adult, do that. Great. Fucking have at it.
Sure.
But don't involve children. It's so easy. It's so fucking easy. So John Kennedy reads this book on the Senate floor or in some kind of testimony, and they're bleeping out words as he's reading it. It's like, oh, so you can't read this on TV.
Right.
But you can have it in a school library.
A good point.
And if parents are pissed about it, it's their problem.
Wasn't the left banning books a couple of years ago, like Mark Twain or something, because like the N-word was using it? Weren't they trying to?
Yeah.
And then now they're upset that the right is trying to ban sexually explicit books. Like,
yeah.
It almost seems like they could meet halfway there and not be fighting.
You would think that, God, we could just meet halfway somewhere.
Right. Why?
Just not involve children. It's so easy.
So easy.
And I understand that, like, Mark Twain banned the N-word in a book that's for kids. Okay, great. That makes kind of, yeah, okay. I get it. I mean, it's history, but it was
part of our history, and don't we need to know our history in order to learn from it so we don't make the same mistakes? I mean, isn't that part of it?
You would hope so.
Yeah. I mean, not that I condone the word at all, but that was a different time and a different place. And we should read that on a black and white page and be like, what the fuck? We really were saying shit like that at some point.
Right. Exactly. To see how stupid it was. Exactly.
Right. Right.
But anyway, sexually explicit books. No, not for kids. Get them out.
Yeah, next they'll just have the Playboy magazine chilling in their library.
Might as well.
Well, they were saying, I don't know where I heard this, but basically like sexual education classes in like fifth grade, you know, kids are like 10 years old and they're seeing cartoon depictions of like a blowjob or intercourse because trying to explain it for educational purposes. They don't need to be that educated at fucking 10 years old. I'm sorry.
Nope. You know? 12, 13. Yeah. Okay. That's when you're going to start messing around with that stuff. Sure.
Right.
It's like, are they promoting it to be earlier?
That's what it seems like. That's what it seems like. I mean, I remember as, you know, at 10 years old, like, I think I was kissing at 10 years old, to be honest, but I was kissing a seventh grader. So fifth grade and seventh grade, but I was advanced. Yeah, I was advanced for my little age.
You are advanced.
I was. Cause then once I got to seventh grade and I looked at the fifth grade, it's like, oh my God, they're little kids. Like, why, you know? So it was different to go from me fifth grade to the girl seventh grade. But then when I got to seventh grade, I was looking at fifth graders like they were little kids. I'm like, no way, they shouldn't be.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. I guess
my girls are going to be in fifth grade next year. I'm like, they better not be kissing seventh grade. I'm going to have a problem.
Right. Exactly.
Like, you better control your child.
100%. Kids are growing up so quickly. I got my cousin's 8 years old. I'm like, dude, slow down. Enjoy your life. He's like, I can't wait to hit 16 and get my permit. I'm like, no, dude.
Yeah.
Once you hit 16, you're going to be like, I wish I could go back to 12. Well, I can't. Right. 21. Once you're 21, then you start wishing you could de-age.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody wants that 21 so they could go into a bar and drink.
After the sheen of getting, you know, going in a bar and buying a couple drinks wears off, and then you're like,
right. It'd
be nice to be younger.
Well, how old were you when Mental Jewelry came out?
We were 20.
Right, I was 20. You were 21.
No, because I turned 21 on the road. July 23rd in 1991. And we were in Georgia, in Athens, I think, or in, maybe Atlanta. But we were playing a theater there, Metro Jewelry Tour. And our parents, my parents and a couple other parents, like, flew in to surprise me for my birthday.
Oh, cool.
And so, but we went out before the show and got a couple drinks and went to a strip club.
Yeah.
So we come back for the show and, like, we weren't shit-faced, obviously. We did the show, but, like, my mom's there. I'm like, oh, hey, mom's kind of drunk. Mom and dad. It's funny.
Well, I guess
that's later that night, then, Michael Stipe was in the crowd.
Oh, no way.
Watching us. I believe it was the same show. There's this guy up on the balcony of the theater just fucking going crazy, like dancing around, singing and shit. And that ended up being Michael Stipe. Like,
wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
you're big REM fans, but yeah.
So I guess what I was getting at there is you were probably able to drink at bars before you were 21 because you were in this successful band at that point.
Oh yeah, when we were making Mental Jewelry in Milwaukee, we were 19 that summer, I think, or maybe 20. Let's think here. Yeah, so it was the summer of 90.
Well, I heard Ed say that, like, Pain Lies in Riverside, he wrote during gym class. So that means he must have been in high school or something still at that point.
Oh, yeah, we wrote all those songs in high school. So I'm just trying to remember exactly. So 18, right around 18, 19. I think it was summer of 90. Maybe it was summer. It was summer of 90.
Do you go back and listen to, like, Mental Jewelry and, like, how the fuck were we this on point as little kids? Like, it's a very mature record for, you know, 18 to 20 year olds.
Are you talking lyrically or just musically too?
Musically and lyrically, like, musically for sure. Like, it's just it seems like you guys were well versed in your instruments well beyond, you know, an 18 year old.
Well, from basically ninth grade until we made Mental Jewelry, we practiced all the fucking time, like, did whatever shows we could do, which were few and far between then. But yeah, I mean, yes. So yeah, we would just practice. We just got together and practiced whenever we could and just played.
Now, before you guys, you know, hit it big with Throwing Copper, or, you know, even before Mental Jewelry came out, you guys had put out an album called Death of a Dictionary under Public Affection.
Yeah.
Were you, like, local legends at that point in the town of York? Like, were people like, oh shit, there's, you know, the boys there? Because I mean, their songs on there were pretty legit, like Paper Flowers and Morning Humor, and people had to have known you guys were going somewhere in that small little town.
Well, we were known, but, like, York's a big small town, I call it, because it's like 50,000 people in the city and then 50,000 in the surrounding area. So it's we were known to some high schools and stuff, like, and I got to go back and correct myself. So I turned 21 in 92, not 91.
Aha.
Born in 70. So summer 92. So summer 91, we were making Mental Jewelry in Milwaukee. Anyway.
Yeah.
And my point wasn't that we were, Jerry Harrison's wife would take us to bars.
Oh, cool.
Get us in. Sorry, Carol. It was fun, though. We had a good time. Anyway, so
future rock star, so it's all, yes, good.
So back to what we were talking about. So we were kind of known, like, we kind of shot to fame locally in 88. There was this dance called Temple Dance, which was, like, big for, it was an under 21 dance. They would have a band and everyone would go there, and, like, it was in the outside of the city in this district called Suburban, where, you know, a lot of hot chicks went to Suburban. So we would go to this dance to friggin' see them. And we, you know, we had our band, and the band took a break, and we were like, hey, can we get up and play a couple songs?
Oh, no
way.
And
we played like three songs and, like, fucking blew the doors off the place.
There's video of that. Do you know that?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys.
And then next, the following year, it was always in November. So the following year in November, we headlined the thing.
Sick.
So that was cool.
Hell yeah.
So that was fun. I think it was 87 and 88 we headlined it because we graduated in 89. Yeah. So the years are getting, you know, a little blurry.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I mean, we were known by some high schoolers and stuff and, you know, starting to do shows, especially over in Lancaster at the Chameleon. That was the one venue that was close to us, a proper venue where we go play.
Was there anybody as a kid that, like, I don't want to say bully, but maybe was like a dick to you, and then all of a sudden you get this fame, like, oh, hey, Chad, remember me? We were best buds back in the day.
Oh, absolutely. There's tons of, not necessarily a dick, but like, I don't know, I've told the story about like being a drummer, but not being in the drum line. And so they knew I played drums, but they thought I must suck because I'm not in the drum line.
Oh, God.
And because I played saxophone in all the school bands.
Right.
And so when we like blew up, of course you're like, wow, man, you could play like that. It's like, well, it's and then there was a teacher who was especially, because all of us were in the jazz band in our senior year, and the jazz band was just
pretty. That means you were pretty advanced musicians, right? I remember jazz band high school.
Yeah. So I played sax, and Ed and Chad played trumpet, and Patrick played bass, of course.
Right.
And we were kind of like the core in the senior year. We were kind of the core musicians in the band, in the jazz band. And the jazz band was very near and dear to this teacher named Mr. Kaler. And so we decided to quit the jazz band because we were getting gigs and we were like, we can't play on the weekend at a, you know, at some fucking little lawn for 50 jazz people. Like, yeah, we're going to go play a show for our band. And he got fucked. Pissed, dude. I mean,
I'm sure
we had to get like school administration involved in it because he was calling us, like, he literally called us whale shit in the bottom of the ocean. Like, he cornered us in the band storage room one day. It's like, you motherfucker, is it going the fuck off on us? We're like, dude,
what the hell,
bro? We've since made up and it's all good, but like, I mean, I understand he was passionate about the jazz band.
Sure.
We're like, we just fucked his whole jazz band up. Basically did.
To draw like a relation, it's like, yeah, you guys are in high school on the football team, and then all of a sudden this big college wants to take you, and he's like, no, fuck you, I want you to stay for this little
high school
football team.
Yes.
Come on now.
And we were like, dude, he's like, you're never going to make it, and you're never going to amount to anything. And we're just like, okay.
Isn't that amazing that, you know, adults say that to kids, but in all reality, people do make it. And if there was more you say you push them towards it and give them some good that comes to what they're passionate about, you wonder if more people would follow, you know, their passions into the arts and stuff like that. Or
possibly. Yeah,
I think so. Like, you know, why do you, I just think our education system is wacky tobacky. Like, there's some kids.
I'm starting to look into that and like get, you know, see things about that. Like, it was basically set up by, I think, was it Rockefeller? Like, they set it up to make factory workers. Our education system is set up to make factory workers.
Which is why we have
to kill ambitions, to kill, you know, free thinking. It's like, you think this way. Boom. You know.
Which is fine, but we don't have factories anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, they're coming back, but we can get into that whole discussion.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? It's set up for that. I've heard that too. It was set up to make factory workers, which is why you have the bells and all that stuff. But
right, exactly.
You no longer, I mean, I guess like you said, it's coming back, but not to the point where our whole education system should be set up towards that, you know?
And I don't even know what a different education system looks like. I'm not even sure. I mean, my kids went to Montessori for the first part of their education. Now they're in public school, but so I mean, I could see that, but like, I don't know if every kid can learn like that.
Right.
But it is a very free thinking, free range way of learning.
I've heard of Montessori schools. What does that mean? Is that a religion? What is Montessori?
No, there's a person named Montessori. I don't know what their first name was. Made up this, you know, basically created this schooling system.
Because there was one up the road for me. So just, it's not like, 8 to 3 math, history. There's like some cool courses.
There's a little structure to it, but like the kids are allowed basically to go and like pick up some puzzles and work on that for a while. Or there's, you know, they'll they'll have a reading book and they'll work on that for a while. And they're kind of, it's kind of free range.
Yeah.
Probably explaining it really stupidly, but it's kind of free range. Like the kids can gravitate to what they like doing better and more, and what suits them and how they like to learn. There's a different style of learning.
So
especially for young kids.
Right. Yeah. Cause I that's what I was going to say too. I've seen younger school Montessori schools where I feel like up till fourth grade ish.
It's usually pre-K to first grade have. Goodness. And then we found one here in California, my ex and I at the time, we found one that went to eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
And my son went to sixth grade in that one. And then he went to public school.
So how was your, now when he got to public school, was his education on
or fifth grade? I think he was a little advanced, a little more advanced than most students. Yeah.
So that's good. So that means it was a better education then.
Yeah.
Cause I went to, a private high school for high school, and public school all before that. And, my senior year, my parents had moved to South Jersey, and I kind of got forced to go down to the school in South Jersey, and it was a public school. And I only had one class to do, which was English, and the rest were electives because I did everything. I just had to do English 4. The rest I had already done, all my maths, my everything, all my prerequisites were done. I just had all electives except for English. Mm. And I get there and they're reading books my senior year of high school that I had read my freshman year of high school.
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah. So it was like, I went from the private school, which like I was just getting by, to like honor roll, which right. was funny. Yeah.
Well, yes. Public school encompasses all levels of learning. So it's
right. And then I think Bush enacted the No Child Left Behind. Left Behind,
yes. Yeah.
Act, which basically means like they're just going to force you through school and you won't be left behind.
I think Oregon just passed some law to basically take away or completely lower standards for reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Oh my God.
And they, you know, they said it was for people of color. It's like, okay.
Okay, so they're gonna
why don't you help them learn instead of like dumbing down everything for it? It's like, that's, this is what drives me nuts about Democrats and liberals. Like they call everyone like racist, but then they do things that are completely racist.
Right.
It's right. Like you're dumbing down the education system for kids that need structure and need to learn.
Right. And you don't, it doesn't even have to be, because it's a lot
you're
of
you're not helping them. You're not fucking helping them.
Right. Right. And giving, I mean, you know, if the same person is going, I don't even know if it's like that, but I've heard with affirmative action and stuff, like say two people have the same grades and all that stuff, and they're both going for the same spot in college. If you're a minority, you could have a little bit lower grade average than you know, the person who isn't a minority and get in above that person. To me, that does not make any sense at all. Like if you're, you know, if you're both have the same exact thing, then you go into extracurricular activities. But it should not be somebody who has an 85 average and somebody who has an 80 average, and the 80 average is getting in just because they're a minority. That right. doesn't make sense. You can't course correct by, you know, basically taking away from, you know, a white person or something, because then it's reverse racism. We need to make it to where it's even playing field for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that low income places maybe don't get the same education system as some of the places that have higher income. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So instead of sending $84 billion to Ukraine, let's take some of those billions and put them into our educational system and make it so it's a level playing field for everybody that way, not by letting people get into something based on lower standards for this class of people.
John, you're making too much sense. This is stupid.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Like, and then we could also, you know, use some of those billions to rebuild Lahaina. Maybe do.
Yeah. Did you see that, dude? So I was watching, I forget what I was watching, but they showed, it was like how the fire started, and it looked to me like a fucking laser, but they described it as, I guess, a power line breaking, and then it like flew down into some, you know, like dry area. and just causing on fire. But the video I saw was through a tree line, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you just saw like this fucking big like white light come out of nowhere and then caught the fire. And that's wow. what I'm saying, yeah, it was from like the power line or whatever. But to me, it looked like, because there's a conspiracy, like a fucking laser did or something, but it did look like that. Mm-hmm. Even though, again, that's probably absurd.
That's called directed energy weapons, but you know.
Yeah, there are things.
We're already getting called a conspiracy theorist for just basic right. shit. So really, we can go into this one. I mean, they still have the whole town cordoned off with like fencing and like blackout, you know, tarps. You can't fucking see in there. You're not allowed to park near the town. You're not allowed to take pictures of the town. You're not allowed to go and interview anybody anywhere near the town. It's like,
yeah,
what the fuck is really going on? I mean, I'm not saying that the fires were started by lasers, but what the fuck is going on in that
right.
in that place? Literally, and what's happening?
Why did it take like the mayor like fucking 2 weeks before he came on to talk about this and the governor? Like, I heard that they're blocking aid from coming into there.
Because, yeah.
What?
It's nuts. It's people are ferrying in aid to the waterfront from coming in from other parts of Mali and then across from the Big Island and stuff too. Like they're shuttling in on little private boats,
right? Because they can't get into the major ports because they're blocked,
and then the roads are blocked.
Yes.
And then you had the guy who was head of emergency response. He did it. This is a couple of weeks back, maybe 3 weeks, but he did a interview or a press conference where he was asked why he didn't set off the emergency system.
Right.
And does he regret not doing that? He's like, no, I don't regret not doing it. What? And then the next day, he resigns for health reasons.
And let me guess, he went to work for the Sackler family.
Could be.
You know?
He went to work for Oprah.
Right.
He's head of her private fire force now.
Wow, dude, that is crazy. Like, again, so it does make your brain go, like, why are these blackouts there? Why are they not allowing aid to come through? Like, why do they have all yeah. this money to ship to Ukraine, but Hawaii said, should we change our name to Ukraine and then maybe we'll get yeah. some over here?
Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard was on Rogan talking about that, how someone came up to her and said, maybe we should just change our name to Ukraine and we'll get some love. Because so far from the federal government, each person or each family has got $700. That's it. From the federal fucking government. That's like
one-time payment. What is that going to do? That's fucking right. your groceries for 2 weeks.
And this is what drives me crazy. It's like, you're not allowed to see all this fucked up shit, ask questions.
Right.
You're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, okay.
And the cost.
You don't think it's fucked up?
Right. And the cost of living over there is so high because it's.
Oh my God. Yes.
At $700 is nothing.
Nope.
It's crazy. Just
give the people their land back.
Right.
And rebuild. And everything will be fine. But you're so not doing that.
Same thing with Tulsi on Rogan with BJ Penn. They said that they, you know, in one of their payments they sent to Ukraine, like they found $6 billion that was supposed to go there but didn't get there.
Right.
And now like, they're going to give it to them. And then they said that they looked up, it would cost $5 billion if they wanted to rebuild every house in Hawaii right. and make it back to perfect. So that they can't do, but they can dump a $6 billion.
It's this administration, it's all America last. It's all right. fucking America last. This fucking jackass just fucking stopped all drilling permits in Anwar. So the price of gas in here in California is all going above $6 now. Everywhere.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts. And this son of a bitch just cuts it off. And then his press, what is it, Carrie Jean-Pierre, where the fuck her name is, she gets up there and lies and says, he's not an enemy of the fossil fuel industry. What are you talking about? What evidence do you have of this?
Gee.
Oh, the gaslighting is like, fuck. It's just driving. And Ducey's the only one that asks any fucking questions about it. It's just right. nuts. It drives me fucking crazy. Every time I go to the pump now, I'm just like, motherfucker.
Well, if you do ask questions, you're not a patriot and you're fucking going against the system. And
in January of 2020, gas was like maybe $3.40 for premium here. So that motherfucker took office, killed the pipeline, Keystone mm-hmm. XL pipeline, which everyone's like, it didn't have any effect. It's like, no, it made the prices go up because
Of course.
You can't, you have less, you know, less capacity to bring the oil down from Canada.
Right.
Get $4 the next, like as soon as he was elected.
As soon as,
but they blame it on Trump.
Yeah.
Trump's fault. Right?
Of course.
The border is Trump's fault. Ukraine is Trump's fault.
Well, at first when he was closing the borders from China, like to make it to where when COVID first.
Well, that was happened. Racist. Yep.
Yes, that was racist.
Oh, do you remember when the vax came out under Trump? All the fucking Democrats, Kamala Harris, Biden, we don't know what's in it. We're not going to take it. We don't know what's in it.
Right.
All of a sudden, big farmers are like, hey, motherfucker. Oh, you got to take the vax.
Yeah.
It's going to stop the spread and you can't get it. Oh, bullshit.
It's amazing that they could flip-flop that quick and all that stuff in front of your eyes and nobody catches it. Like, I almost feel like...
Because it's not reported.
Yeah, but still, I mean, come on, people. I mean, just the fact that he was, you know, called a racist for closing the borders, and then, you know, after they realized that that was a good idea, like, he didn't close them quick enough.
That, right, exactly.
It was like, what the fuck, dude? You cannot win, no matter what.
Can't win, you can't make it up.
I just, it blows my mind. And then, like, the people I talk to that, you know, because I get it, we all have differences of opinion, and I could see this, you can see that.
Absolutely.
But you cannot just, you know, gain all your opinions of just based on a news soundbite, a little headline. Do some research and then form your opinion.
I just found this comedian named Jimmy Dore, or Jimmy Dore, D-O-R-E. I'm sure he's been around for a long time. I just saw him. He did this whole skit about, like, when COVID started and then you were in, like, the vax stuff. He's like, well, I was going to do my research. And people were like, don't do your own research, Jimmy. You must be a Trumper. He's like, whoa, wait, you're a racist. He's like, whoa, wait a minute. I just want to know what this is. He's like, what if you went and bought a car and you tell your friend, like, I'm going to go buy a car. And they're like, don't look into it.
Yeah.
Don't look into that car. And he's like, well, what if I want to know about the car? He's like, ask the salesman. He's the expert. What are you, Henry Ford?
Right.
And it's a great analogy of, like, COVID happens and you're not allowed to ask any questions about it. You're not allowed to go, well, I found over here that it started in a lab. I read this whole article in May of 2020 that it was from this lab. Oh, no, it's from the wet market. Oh, now it's from the lab.
Okay. Right. And God forbid you could just ask.
Right. And I read all about the vaccine not stopping the spread or stopping you from getting it. Oh, no, that's a conspiracy theory. You're wrong.
Isn't
you can't
that
ask
crazy?
That question. You can't even say that. You're racist. What?
When the vax was first coming out, it will stop transmission. It will make it so, you know, if you do get it, it's not as bad for you.
And anyone that didn't get it, they're responsible for deaths and, like, you're a piece of shit, basically, if you don't get this, because you're going to kill your grandma and someone else's grandma. It's like, that's the other thing that I trip out about vaccines in general. Everyone that gets that vaccinates their kids or gets vaccinated, they're like, you have to be vaccinated too. It's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
If you're protected, why the fuck do you care what I'm doing?
Right.
The logic never made sense to me.
Right.
Everyone has to be vaccinated. No, they don't, because you're protected, right? You're protected from the disease. So why do I have to be vaccinated?
And not only that, once everybody is vaccinated, isn't this virus going to try and morph to figure out its way around that?
That's what viruses always do.
Right. And the fact that, like, you could have had COVID, now, you know, it's gone, you know, it's a month later, and you have all these antibodies in you so that you can't get COVID in this particular period. And they still want you to get vaccinated when you already have.
Well, that was a conspiracy for a while, conspiracy theory. That if you've gotten COVID and you have the antibodies, you're still better off being vaccinated, and that's been proven wrong. Obviously, everyone fucking knew that at the time, but that's not what they told you. So you're a fucking idiot for thinking that. And where'd you read that? That's the other thing I like when you know with mainstream media and you know that whole side. They always attack the source. Like, you find something and it's like, and you put up something and it's like, well, that source is bullshit. I'm like, it's still true. It's still true.
It's amazing. But they can do it and get away with it. It's like,
well, that's because no one questions what they say. Like, well, there's never any follow-up to, they'll say one thing, they'll make a statement about this and that, and then nobody asks a question about, well, how do you know that? Where'd that come from? Well, no one says anything. It's, and you're not allowed to question, because then you're racist or conspiracy theorist, or, you know,
yeah,
don't do your own research.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your feeling on this upcoming election? Like, do you think Biden, I know they said he's going to run and all that stuff, but it doesn't seem like the left is wanting him to with all the stuff.
I think they're going to throw him out.
Yeah.
They're going to be done with him.
Yeah.
I think they're going to let Hunter get prosecuted, and, you know, they're going to start, and they're starting to call him out on TV. It's like, and it's just, I mean, at some point it's undeniable that he was involved in this. And
right.
It's like, dude, come on. It's like, that's the narrative kind of right now with the mainstream media. Like, there's no evidence. There's no evidence. Like, you see them asking politicians, like, there's no evidence for this. And they're like, no, there's evidence, motherfucker. Like,
is there at least as much evidence for this as there was for the Russia collusion with Trump? Because
well, there's more, that. But.
Yeah. Right. That's my point.
There's more real evidence than that. Right. Yeah, there's a whole WhatsApp chat that is quoted where it's Hunter saying, I'm sitting here beside my father and yeah. you need to send $100,000 or my father's going to tell everybody he knows and right. you don't want me as an enemy base. I'm paraphrasing. I'm sitting here beside my father.
Right.
Well, who's your dad? Oh, but he doesn't know about any of this?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. He's not involved. He has three aliases with 5,400 emails. Nah. He's not involved. It's just good old Joe.
Yeah, good old Joe. Now, with the coke that was found in the White House, was Hunter Biden there or anywhere near? Because
yes, he was. He was there. And then there's video clips of him like skirting around in the background, like all fucking. You can tell he's high as shit, fucking moving around like going nuts. And he was like. But the cocaine, we don't know where it came from. So the Secret Service, one of the greatest security details in the fucking world, can't find out where some cocaine came from. They can't. They just gave up the investigation. No, can't find it. No
fingerprints on the bag. We know it was a fucking plastic bag.
And basically the only people that are allowed to come in and not be searched are the direct family members of Biden.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That makes sense then.
It just appeared there. It's the White House, most secure building in the fucking world.
Just as a national security standpoint, like if you were Russia, if you were China, if you were, you know, some of these superpowers that are like, you know, in competition with us, wouldn't he be the first person you think could compromise as far as like, because if, you know, they didn't compromise Trump's kids. Otherwise, we would have heard that. You know what I'm saying?
And
But he was the perfect, person for them. $20 million from the Chinese government is nothing to them. But it's fucking, you know, for it, he was an easy target.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah. They were peddling it all over the fucking world. Whoever would give them money, they would give access to it. Absolutely.
Right.
I mean. Biden's like a real life Manchurian candidate. It's fucking nuts, dude.
Totally.
Totally compromised. And everyone's just like, he didn't know anything about his son's business dealings. He didn't fly on Air Force Two with you and then get $1 billion deal from the Chinese. Didn't happen. And didn't happen.
Then it's the truth. All you have to do is say it. Didn't happen.
Right. Exactly. I heard that fact checkers now and like being called a conspiracy theorist is basically a
fortune teller.
A fortune teller, yeah. Forewarning of what's going to be real.
Right. It is amazing that all the stuff that, you know, was a conspiracy theory at one point has been proven to not be and has proven to be the truth. And it seems a lot more of those conspiracy theories are turning to actually be what the fuck happened, which is scary.
Well, it's very scary.
The fact that the American people would prefer to have, you know, a huge liar and a compromised, you know, mental capacity person as our president, rather than somebody who is or was a womanizer before he was a president, or, right, you know, somebody who just speaks, you know, stupid at times. But what the way he ran the country is what it should be based on, not what the fucking guy says or tweets or both, right, but actually what he did, mm-hmm, for this country.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt safe as an American when he was in office.
Absolutely. I don't feel safe now. I don't feel safe at all.
Not at all.
Our military is fucking woke. I mean, it's a joke. It's just like, come on, man. They're letting this fucking bullshit infiltrate every part of society.
The military woke is crazy.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. It's like, no. You want toxic masculinity is not really a fucking thing, but you want that in the fucking military. Like, right, you want all those motherfuckers to kill people and like be badass.
Right.
Be fucking, you know, drag queens and fucking, oh, look. Like, no. Let's stop this. Because, the Chinese and Russians, from a standpoint, the Russians are fucked now, but I don't think they can do shit to us. But it's like, yeah, they have nukes. That's the one thing.
That's the thing.
The military being woke is not cool. It's just stop it.
Well, I mean, what was it, 15 years ago? You couldn't even be gay in our military. Or it was like, don't ask, don't tell or some shit was their policy. You know what I'm saying?
And I have no problem with you being gay, but like, at least, you know, be fucking like manly and masculine and want to go fucking kick some ass.
Right. Well, and then I have no problem with people being gay in our military, but I'm just saying that we've gone that far from whereas 15 years ago, you couldn't be gay. Or if you were, it was like, don't ask, don't tell, I believe.
That was a thing for a while. Yeah, absolutely.
So now where it's like, you should be wearing a fucking rainbow colored uniform and fucking blowing your superior officer. You know, we've come a long way.
We've come a long way, baby. I mean, yeah, Biden just told, Biden said it was at 9/11 or at the World Trade Center on 9/12, the day after it happened. Blatantly just said that.
Did he really?
Yeah. He was in Alaska observing 9/11. He's the first president not to observe it either in D.C. at Ground Zero or at the Pentagon, at the White House, Pentagon, or Ground Zero. He's the first president to not observe it there. He's in Alaska. And during that speech, this is what this narcissistic piece of shit does every time he fucking gives a speech. He inserts himself into the situation and tells a lie about how, you know, I empathize with you because my cat, we had a kitchen fire and my cat almost died, talking to the people behind him. This time he was like, yeah, I was at Ground Zero on 9/12, the day after it happened.
No,
he wasn't. He's documented as being in D.C. on the Senate floor.
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember.
He said it was a professor at the University of Penn. Never happened. Said he was a truck driver. Never fucking happened. It's like,
oh my God.
And maybe they just keep making excuses for him.
In a past life.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we'll give him the benefit of that. He's remembering his past life. 100 years ago.
My goodness. Well, so we have, I mean, again, there are so many good candidates. Well, not so many, but so many better candidates than him that could be running on that Democratic ticket.
Listen, RFK Jr. I like, and they won't give him, they won't give him Secret Service
because
Biden refuses. What's that?
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane. And then they're not even going to do, they're not even going to schedule fucking Democratic primary debates.
Well,
this is like the left's new thing. It's like they're Democrats' new thing. Because they did it in Arizona, like Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs. Katie Hobbs refused to debate her, never had a debate. And now this is what they fucking do now. You can't really get a sense of who they fucking really are because they won't debate. They won't go out and talk to anybody. Only in their little, you know, echo chambers of fucking their fans, but they won't go out and have a debate on a national stage or, you know, statewide stage.
And this was okay during the COVID meltdown. But, dude, now this is fucking years later. You should be able to debate like our democratic society, you know, has had it forever. You know what I'm saying? It's how we tell how you candidates think and, you know, how you're going to behave in office.
Right. And that's, I mean, Biden needs to debate RFK Jr. or whoever's going to be contender for the, you know, Democratic ticket.
Oh my God. If Biden even tried to have a conversation with RFK Jr., he would look like an idiot, let alone try and debate the guy. Mm-hmm. I really like RFK Jr.
Yeah.
I do. I like, you know, he's anti-establishment, which is what they don't like.
Right. Absolutely. Well, that's what they didn't like about Trump.
Right. And we're over here talking about stolen elections and all this shit. Do we forget that Hillary Clinton was technically not the Democratic nominee, and like all that scandal that went down with Bernie Sanders and that shit during the DNC, the Democratic National Committee? Like, did we forget? Mm-hmm. And that was right before. It's crazy, dude.
Didn't Bernie come out with, didn't he get a big house right after that or something? Right after he basically seceded the
is Democratic, that what happened?
The primary, he bowed out and they gave him a big house. I don't know. It's fucking nuts.
It is crazy. You know, like they were doing that to a person in their own party. Do we not think they're going to fucking go a crazy above and beyond for somebody in the other party?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when his name is Trump.
Right. So what do you think? Do you think Trump has a Republican nominee for 2024?
I don't know. I don't know fucking at this point. It's like, yeah. All these stupid indictments. They're trying to enact the 14th Amendment on all the fucking place. They've already tried that in Florida once. And like, so who knows?
The court dates around like some serious things come the election time. Like,
right.
Scheduling.
And Super Tuesday. Yeah. The first court day for, what is it? The one in DC, I think, is on Super Tuesday. Just coincidentally, or the day before Super Tuesday, before coincidentally.
Yep. Just coincidence.
They do that on purpose. Right. You're like you're literally watching real time election interference,
right?
And no one on the left gives a fuck because it's Trump. Well, and it's insane. It's like when do you think that that's not going to get reversed on you at some point?
Exactly. And the more you hear about, I don't want to talk smack on him because
it shouldn't be reversed on him. It should not be that way. That's my point. I mean,
so, right.
But if it's going to be this way, then it's going to get reversed on you at some point.
At some point, for sure. I mean, because if it's really the deep state, you know, the more and more I hear about like CIA and FBI, like they're kind of anti-democratic, you know, to have those because they're almost operating independently of, you know, what our government wants. Like they things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a friend tell me the deep state doesn't exist. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, okay, first of all, the military industrial complex is its own deep state.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you bust in the CIA and the FBI have their own fucking, their own shit going on, their own motives, especially CIA. I mean, yeah.
They said they had like three or four of those Chinese spy balloons that came across when Trump was in office, but they didn't tell him is insane to me. Did you hear that?
Does that actually happen, or they just fucking say that to make look like Trump was an idiot too?
But either way, if it did happen and they didn't tell Trump,
right?
If it didn't happen and they're making it up to make Trump look like it like he's, you know, whatever, that's fucked up. Any way you look at that story, it's fucked up.
No, I agree. Right, I agree. And everyone on the left is like, no, it's fine. It's all good. It's all good.
That happens
because it's Trump. It's all fine. They can do whatever they want to Trump. It's as long as they stay in power, and you know, right. my Democrat gets to stay in the office and be, you know, it's all good. They can do whatever they want. But and one day it gets reversed on them, and then they're like, wait a minute.
Right.
Like Schumer's fucking, you know, there's a side by side of Schumer giving a speech about the impeachments for right. Trump, and then one for now for it's, you know, now, of course, he was all for Trump. We got to defend our democracy. And now it's like, this is a witch hunt, and we shouldn't be doing this. This is a waste of our time. It's like,
and a waste of our tax dollars. No, this is the time where it needs to be fucking investigated.
It's actually warranted, but right. also. This is what happens when you do something and now you're getting the fucking, you know, even if it is politically motivated, that's fine. But this is what happens when you do it on one side and now it's being done to you. Exactly. But this motherfucker needs to investigate because he really did a bunch of shit.
Right. Right. If Trump did a quarter of what, or if one of Trump's kids did a quarter of what Hunter did, I don't even know what would happen to him, his family, the backlash on, you know, president himself. It's just, it's crazy that even if you look at it, if you're on the left and you just look at it from the standpoint of, you know, this is happening, we're winning, we're putting all this stuff on Trump and saying he's colluding and stuff like that. Like, how are you okay with that? Like, that's not winning an election. That's lying your way into winning an election. And, mm-hmm. and it's really not like the best person for the job.
They don't care as long as it's not Trump.
Right.
They don't care. They literally don't give a shit.
Oh my God. I just, so it's like, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen in 2024, but I know we cannot have four more years of Mr. Joe Biden in office. And it
seems, I fucking hope to God not, because I mean, just what he's doing to the economy is just fucking crazy. And then getting up there in your face and telling you, oh, it's working. We're better off than we were when Trump was in office. It's like fucking gaslighting. It's nuts.
Yes. It's like
nuts.
Can you show me some proof of that, please?
Yeah, exactly.
Everything I see is not showing that.
I'm paying over $6 a fucking gallon of gas now.
Is that what it is over there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
For premium. Everywhere now. It just went up. There's one station I've been going to. It was like $5.31 2 weeks ago. It went to $5.71 and now $6.09 in like the span of two fucking weeks.
That's crazy, dude.
And that's when he, you know, I think it was last week is when he banned drilling permits in Anwar.
And of course, that's not a direct correlation to why the price has gone up.
No, that's what they try to say, but we all know how it works. It's like supply and demand, dumbass. You cut off supply, you have more demand and fucking higher prices. It's like, hello. Yeah, actually, the same demand. It's like they think. That's what's crazy about like electric cars. Like, you want to drive an electric car? Go ahead. But they're trying to force people into driving electric cars.
Right.
And they don't have the power in the power grid to fucking power all these cars.
Right.
Trying to make everyone dry.
By 2030, Cali wants all the cars.
2035. You can't buy a gasoline powered car. That's an enemy.
Right.
It's impossible.
How can you put that when our power grid is not structured for that? Like, they were telling people, like, during like the massive heat waves and shit, like, oh, don't charge your car and run your air conditioner.
Oh, that's California in a nutshell. They came out and said, yeah, we passed this legislation. You know, by 2035, you cannot buy any more gas-powered cars. You have to drive electric. The next week, heat wave. Don't charge your electric cars during peak periods. Like,
right. Yeah.
And if they were smart, they'd build nuclear power plants, and then they might be able to power those cars. But they're all against that. They think that they live in this fucking wonderland where they're going to have everything be powered by wind and solar. It's like, that's not going to happen. They spent $5 trillion over the last like 20 or 30 years on renewables. And it's only 2% of the world grid is renewables.
And maybe
a little bit more now, Blake. It's ridiculously small amount for $5 trillion investment. And most of it's now still owned by fossil fuels. So you think you're just going to stop that overnight?
Right.
And everything's going to be fine.
Well, I heard that.
Yeah, good luck.
If he went, carbon neutral, that it wouldn't put a dent in anything because of like all the pollution that China does all on their own.
Right.
Like that country alone is enough to fucking, you know.
The United States is, I think, responsible for about 13%. And by the way, carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is about 0.04% is carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
Ah, I did not know.
0.02%, we all die.
Wow.
There's not enough carbon dioxide in the atmosphere to sustain plant life. We're at 0.04%, but we're in a climate catastrophe. Okay. Sure.
That's
good. I know I'm not a scientist. I just am quoting shit that I read, and it's a conspiracy theory. That's fine. Call that. Fuck off.
God damn you and your conspiracies. Jesus.
I mean, still, I'm all for like clean environment. I'm all for, you know, picking up your trash and fucking recycling and all that stuff. But like what they're trying to do, they're trying to use climate to fucking end up locking people down or forcing them into habits that they want. And when I say they, I mean the world fucking elites,
right?
People that are fucking running this shit above all of us. And it's happening.
So everybody's on a car that needs to be charged, and then they tell you, okay, you can't charge your car right now. It's another way to control you.
Oh, they, absolutely.
We can't, you can't move your cars now because they're all electric, and we're telling you, no, you can't charge it now.
Right. Just shut it down right now.
Oh, hey.
That's taking away all your freedom.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Well, on that lovely note, we're going to leave that audience for you guys to mull over for the following week. Are we putting the shit in bullshit? I think so.
I love it.
Chad, I had another fun time with my man. Audience, hope you're having a blast with us. Oh, I forgot to answer that call that came in. I apologize, but I will get to you next
damn
week.
Damn it. Who was calling? You know what?
Yes, but I don't want to say. I want to leave it in the air. I'll tell you afterwards. But
sorry, mystery person.
That's what I'm gonna start doing. Mystery guests, where we have to guess who the person is. I like that.
I have a couple of ideas for guests. Come on.
Yeah, so, you're saying we'll, those would be cool.
Yes.
So we want to thank you guys for listening. It seems to be growing per show, which is always fun. And I absolutely had a blast. Don't forget, every Tuesday at 1 p.m., The Gracious 2, putting the shit in bullshit.
Thanks, everybody. Take it easy.
Thank you, man. All right. Peace out, ladies and gents.